Welcome to Eternal Truth Now. I'm Elaine Haynes.
I'm Carrie Haynes.
We're glad you joined us today. We've been talking about, the last time we talked about, a word that I received from the Lord on us being about ascension and expansion based on being a living sacrifice. So we're going to have a part two today. But first, we're going to open in prayer.
God, I thank you for your word, for your faithfulness to us, Lord, the power of your word that does so much. It quickens us. It gives us light and life. It reveals Jesus to us. And so we ask, Lord, that the ears that your word would fall on good soil. So, Lord, I ask that you would open ears and hearts this day, God, to receive that engrafted word, and there'd be entrance of your word that would bring light and life in Jesus'
name. Amen. So the key verse is Romans 12:1-2. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. I encourage you to go back, if you haven't listened to the first part, to go back and do that. Actually, before you watch this one, because we're going to be applying the last word was to our lives. So we're going to be explaining it basically today. So it'd be good if you listened to it first, if you haven't or watched it. So as we ended up last time, Carrie was sharing a testimony of something that happened in one of our house churches, and what happened with him, where it was a place of sacrifice into ascension. And I'm going to share, he started with his, he's going to add to it, but I'm going to bring mine in right now. So, we had a situation where a couple of people in one of our house churches were, I'll put it this way, where I'm kind of in a little bit rebellious, kind of immature. And we are aware of that, and we're, love them where they're at, like God has loved us where we're at. But there were some things that happened, and it was kind of outright in the meeting. And during it happening, I was fine with it, maintained. But I let it get under my skin a little once I got home. And I started thinking about it. What right do they have? How dare they, right? That kind of thing. In fact, I got angry about it, to the point that I knew what I was supposed to do, forgive, right? And I was so angry, I didn't want to. And I didn't have it within me to do it. Honestly, it wasn't in me to do it. I was so angry. So I asked, because I'm like, God, I know this is wrong, and I know that it's going to stop me from moving forward. Forget this meeting, this house church, right? Beyond that, it'll stop me, because I know what unforgiveness does. But I was powerless to let it go, honestly. So I asked him to help me, and he did. And it was immediate, and it was so immediate that I was just flooded with love for this person. Now, that was an ascended place, and it's maintained. This person is still how this person is most of the time, but it doesn't affect me anymore. I have a more heart of compassion, if you will, towards where that person is. So I encourage you, in those hard places, ask him to help you, because he will. I've had that happen before in my life on a couple of occasions, where I had to ask him to help me do what I knew was right to do, because I just couldn't. And so he will. He will.
And again, in this same situation that we were both in the same situation, you said something in your word, sacrificing what was the most important thing in your life. And it's really, and a lot, it's my pride. I know Christ, and knowing Christ and my fellowship with him, and again, knowing him is the most important thing. But in my flesh, I guess you could say, what the most important thing for me is my pride. And God had allowed this situation to come to fruition. And I had said in my pride, I said, I have a right to quit. And I was actually really considering quitting this ministry. I had a right to quit. They wronged me. And what he was saying to me was, lay it on the altar. And there's a great verse in the book of Job. Remember Job's situation. And there's some explanation explaining of what he was going through. And it says that God deals with us that he may withdraw man from his purpose and hide pride from man.
Praise God.
So that's a real bottom liner that we should always remember. Also, I was really noticing that my God was really showing my this stubbornness that I had, because again, I wasn't quick to say I wasn't going to quit. In fact, I was starting to make plans of quitting. It was that I had let it get under my skin that much. So this stubbornness, it reminds me of a verse in 1 Samuel 15:23 when then Samuel had to rebuke Saul for not obeying what God had told him to do. And what Samuel said to Saul was, for rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. And I thought, in my stubbornness, because I can be very stubborn, I know, can be as idolatry. And I had never seen that, to think that I was idolizing my right to myself, really, to hold on to stubbornness, to be stubborn. That was how everything was built. What my idolatry was, the idolatry of self.
So, yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And so what it made me think of was what Samuel said to Saul. He says, because you have rejected the word of the Lord, he also has rejected you from being king. And what it made me think of was in Revelation 1:6 that it says that Christ has made us kings and priests. And I thought, if I reject the word of the Lord, if I remain stubborn and prideful, I could be rejected as being a king and a priest in his kingdom.
Amen.
So that was something I had to take very seriously.
Yeah, it's really sacrificing our right to self.
Yeah.
And our desires. Our desires.
And it runs deep.
It does.
It runs deep.
We're very self, you know, I mean, it's really how we're made, is that we're self-focused, you know, because we have a mind and it's constantly processing things in accordance with our thoughts, our desires, if you will, our self-understanding and how we relate to ourselves, how we relate to God, how we relate to other people. It's all processing for that end. That's part of the system of what's called ego. And we think of ego as all popped up with pride. It's not that. It's just how we view. It's our worldview. And then here's the thing. That's a westernized, I'll say it this way, it's not of the kingdom of God. So we know a kingdom it's of. It's self. What did Satan do? He propped himself up. I'm going to be like the Most High. I am I, right? That's I. Self-focus versus God-focus. Recognizing that you're from God, that he sent you here. He created you for a purpose, to give glory to his name, right? He's the king. In a king, you don't own anything. Everything belongs to him. But he's so good that he gives you everything that you need to live, right? But it's God-focused. So we all struggle with self-focus, right? Our needs, our wants, right? And our culture is like, it's all about intellect and independence and self-made men and all of that stuff. It's all self. What do I want? What do I need? Again, what do you want, Lord? You know, what do you want, right? To walk humbly before your God, to walk humbly before him, recognizing that he saved you from what you deserved, which was death. Right, he shed his blood for you, that you're now translated from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his son, to live forever with him.
Part also of what God told me to do was, he said to forgive. You know, and I know that, but then he had to remind me quickly. He says, all the long suffering I've been to you, show towards them.
Amen.
And I had to, that made it a lot easier, honestly, because I know how long suffering God has been with mm-hmm. me, and he was just asking me to do the same thing to them as he had done with me.
Yeah.
And also he said, don't quit the ministry because of immature people.
us the truth.
Yeah. And so, you know, why did he tell me to do that, these things? Why did he tell me to react and to not react in anger like Moses did? Because he says, I want, you know, I need for you to sanctify me before the people. Because that's what Moses didn't do.
Right.
That second time at the rock when he drew water out of the rock. He didn't sanctify, and that's held him back from entering the promised land. So that was one thing he told me.
Yeah, it's interesting when you consider that, oh, ye rebels that you talked about before, that Moses basically said that God didn't tell him to say to the people. That he didn't sanctify God. God wanted him to represent him rightly, right? But when you think about, oh, ye rebels, actually it turns out that Moses and Aaron were rebelling against God because they weren't doing what he said.
Hmm.
And so sometimes we can, if you watch what you say, you can find out where your heart really is. Just a little nugget there.
That is a nugget. I can hear that for myself right now.
Yeah.
I know. And what I heard God say too, why did he tell me to forgive? He says, if you don't forgive them, I won't forgive you.
Yeah.
And we know the verse, for if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses.
Pretty plain.
Yeah, it's really straightforward. It's something I still forget.
Yeah.
It's just, you know, that's real cut and dry. And sometimes you wonder why you're not going forward.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe there's some unforgiveness that you didn't do.
Yeah.
Another thing that you said about bringing his kingdom to the earth wherever we are and wherever he sends us.
Mm-hmm.
And what it made me think of is that, you know, the kingdom, what Jesus said in Matthew 23:13, he says, whosoever sins you remit, they are remitted unto them. And whosoever sins you retain, they are retained.
It's actually John 20:23.
That is John 20:23, yeah. But what if I hadn't done that, I would have been guilty of what Jesus said in Matthew 23:13. He says, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites. That would be me.
Mm-hmm.
For you shut up the kingdom of heaven against men, for you neither go in yourselves, neither suffer ye them that are entering to go in.
Yeah. You know, talking about that first verse you've quoted, though, whosoever sins you remit, they're remitted. Whosoever sins you retain, they're retained. We keep people bound when we don't forgive them. We actually are keeping them bound
right in
their sin. If we just keep holding on to it, we're not even aware what's happening, but we keep them stuck where they're at. We don't loose them. We need to loose them so that they can, you know, when, let me put this. You know when it says a soft answer turns away wrath? When you are just allowing the presence of God to be with, to manifest himself, when others are going off on however they go off, right? In a place of love, the love of the Father, they have freedom to move. They have freedom to, they see themselves as they are, I'll put it that way. When you don't react like this against someone, it keeps them stuck there because then they want to hold on to that if you're coming against it, right? You're trying to make them change, right? Whereas if you or acceptance, not of the sin, but of the person, then it gives them space to move forward. It gives them space. Then they see themselves as they are.
That's a good point. That's really good. Another thing that he said to me was that if you quit the ministry, you'll not go forward. If you quit now, you'll not go forward in character.
Mm-hmm.
Why is that important? Because in proportion to your character will be the proportion of the revelation I give you.
Right.
Again, you're going to stay stuck.
Right.
Or in ministry. If you quit, you're not going to go on in ministry.
Right.
And I like what Paul says, was that none of these things move me, neither count my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy in the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify of the grace of God. And also in view of eternity, what I had to really view eternity in respect of how I'm reacting in this situation. If I'm going to stay in unforgiveness and pride and stubbornness, and I quit the ministry that God gave me, then, you know, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ.
That's right.
That everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. So I would be, you know, lessening my eternal reward, because that's something that we have to keep in mind. He also told me that you are learning obedience through the things that you suffer.
Amen.
And, you know, even Jesus, it says in Hebrews 5:8, though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. Jesus actually, yeah. I mean, that's what the Bible says right there. He had to learn obedience.
Yeah.
And likewise, we have to in the same way.
Amen. Amen. And I was reminded with whenever I think about that, I think about 1 Peter 4:1, for as much then as Christ has suffered us for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind. He that has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin. So when you sacrifice that, whatever it is you want to do in the flesh, right, and are obedient to God, right, there's an a place of ascension. You, they don't lay down your fleshly desires, and the Holy Spirit moves through you. It's a place of ascension and expansion, the expansion of God in you and through you.
So also one of the things that you mentioned was food, you know, talking about sacrificing. And I wrote down here, food or any form of self-indulgence. And I tell you, it's something that we don't think about, but there's a verse that God has been speaking to me numerous times that Paul says. He says, know you not that they which run in a race run all. So all run in a race. But one receiveth the prize. We normally don't think of it like that. So run that you may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things.
All things.
Talking about athletics, let's say. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly. I tell you, I get there a lot. I get there a lot. I run as uncertainly. So fight I not as one that beateth the air, but here's the solution in this case. But I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means when I preach to others, I myself should be a castaway. And I admit that I have often dismissed it, as you said in your word, and it cost me.
Yeah, but the beauty is God is always all the while at work within us to
yeah.
will, to get us to that place of being willing and doing it with his pleasure.
Yeah.
He's always working in us. And he will bring us to a place where we will be willing to place our desires on the altar. It may be he dries up our satisfaction in things. I'm sure you've experienced that. I've experienced it so much in my life, that those things that seem so important, he has his ways of making them be unsatisfactory to us. He will work in our circumstances and through chastenings because he knows who he's created us to be, a carrier of his glory. And we honestly are not going to be fully satisfied until we are in the will of God, experiencing his presence fully in our lives through Jesus Christ. So he's always, but we have a flesh. As long as we're in the body, we have a flesh. So it's always a battle. I'll just encourage you with that. God's always working in you, and recognize that, you know, in your places of struggle.
And we're talking about a sacrifice, and how you worded it was a subsequent ascension. Mm-hmm. And I had this happen for me, and it was because of my obedience to forgive and to let God hide pride from me, to forgive and to lay aside that stubbornness and to not quit the ministry. I just forgave these people, let it go. And once I did that, there was a subsequent ascension that I wasn't really expecting it in this way, to where the Lord spoke to me the next morning. I was reading a verse about how Paul says, the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord. Those two words stuck out, and I could say in that moment that this ascension had turned into a relational ascension with God, to where I could sincerely say I was doing this obedience unto him, that he was my Lord and my God. And it got to a place where it got past doctrine to reality.
Amen. Praise God. Praise God.
Also, let me say this about this. When you mentioned the sacrifice, that here was a sacrifice for me of service, mm-hmm. where... And in your thoughts, where Paul says in Philippians 2, 5, and 7, he says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. But he made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. So as I let this mind be in you, in me, to serve,
yeah.
There's in this place of ascension, which is brought out with what Moses said in Numbers 16:9, mm-hmm. with the rebellion of Korah, mm-hmm. and he says to Korah, seemeth it but a small thing unto you that the God of Israel has separated you from the congregation of Israel? That's a place of service, right?
Yeah.
To bring you near to himself. That's the reward. That's the ascension. When you serve, to bring you near to himself, to do the service of the tabernacle of the Lord, and to stand before the congregation to minister unto them. So it's great when you take that form of a servant, God will draw you near to himself,
yes.
to give you the ability to hear him, what he
Amen.
Wants to say,
Amen.
And to minister yeah. to the people.
Yeah. Absolutely.
We also, when you mentioned sacrifice of time, mm-hmm. And these were three things I would quickly
yeah.
mention. That
that's a big one.
Yeah, it is. One of them was get up when God wakes me up. I can be real late. I'm not a morning person, quote unquote. But the verse in Proverbs 20:13, love not sleep, lest you come to poverty. Open your eyes, and thou shalt be satisfied with bread. Another thing, a sacrifice of time that both Elaine and I have had to do is choosing God over entertainment. And, you know, it reminds me of Isaiah 55:2. It says, wherefore do you spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfies not? Also, choosing not to be lazy, to instead gird up the loins of my mind and choose a lifestyle of importunity in word, time, and prayer. And this thing about choosing not to be lazy is letting God tell me who I really am. Because I sometimes say, oh, I'm lazy. But letting God tell me who I really am, which what he said to me was, you're a soldier. And I it's just, you know, when God says it to you, it becomes more real, and there's clarity is brought to your life and perspective.
Well, there's also when he speaks something, there's the ability, it's an effectual word, which right. means it has within it the ability to bring it forth. So it's a prophetic word when he says that, Carrie.
That's a great,
right?
Yeah.
It changes the nature and structure of the thing spoken to when he
right.
says it. You know, that's how it is. When he gives me a prophetic word, it is immediately, it changes something in me, you know, and then. So when he says that, soldier, it's flipping the script, if you will.
It starts, yes, it becomes
right.
real in that
right.
moment. And then what I do with it is my business. But
right. But he's always at work within you.
Right.
To willing to do of his pleasure and his will, yeah.
Also, I wanted to say this then, that sacrifice of time in regards to seeking the Lord.
Yeah.
And in Ephesians 5:15-16, Paul says, see then you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. And to circumspectly means exactly, accurately, diligently. So when Paul was preaching on Mars Hill, what he said was, he talked about them, God being their creator, And to this purpose, if you will, he says that they should seek the Lord, if haply they might feel after him and find him, though he be not far from every one of us. As God's creation, we are to seek the Lord until we find him. That's actually how he's made us.
Yeah, amen.
To true. Seek the Lord.
Right.
There's
that's
that void.
That's why Jesus said, seek first the kingdom, because we worry about all these other things that we think we need, right? And Jesus said, seek first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added unto you. Because again, that's another one of those paradoxes, right? We think it's this way. No, I got to work for this. I got to do this. I got to run after that. I got to. But no, he says, seek first the kingdom of God, and all these other things you're worried about will be added. God will make sure you have what you need. That's the truth. You seek him first, and he'll make sure that you have what you need. That's the truth.
So this thing about sacrificing your time and seeking the Lord, I love this verse in Philippians 3:10. I'm going to read it in the Amplified. It says, Paul says, for my determined purpose. See, that's that determined heart. That I may know him. That I may progressively become more deeply and intimately acquainted with him. Perceiving and recognizing and understanding the wonders of his person more strongly and more clearly.
Yeah.
But then the next part is the ascension part. That sacrifices by seeking. The ascension part is, and that I may in that same way, see that same way of finding him, come to know the power outflowing from his resurrection. So in finding him, mm-hmm. you find his resurrection power and you ascend to him a resurrected life.
Amen. That's really good. Yeah.
So we also were talking about sacrifice of thoughts to a heart of faith. You know, the heart is the seat of our thoughts, the center of our will and character. Taking responsibility for what you're thinking and believing, because Proverbs 23:7 says, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he.
Amen. Yeah, this is really important. That goes back to the original, the verse, renewing your mind, being transformed by the renewing of your mind. As you offer your body a living sacrifice, part of that is being transformed by the renewing of your mind, because we have strongholds of belief systems that are contrary to what the Word of God says. They're contrary to the kingdom of God. So we have been coming to an end here. So I just encourage you, Lord, I just pray, God, that you would reveal those strongholds, those lies that where we've gone into agreement with the devil.
Yeah.
That's opposite what you say. So I pray that you would expose those lies, Lord God, that they can be taken an axe to the root of them right now in Jesus' name and for your glory and for the blessing of every person watching and listening in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen.
The preceding program was brought to you by the Holy Spirit Broadcasting Network, HSBN Television.